Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast. Here's Rick Uccino and SP3 on the Believe Podcast Network.
Oh, yes. Well, it's the weekend of a big pay-per-view, which means it's time to do our annual prediction show, which means we are not alone. It means we have a special guest this week. And I figured since it's an AEW pay-per-view, Bleacher Report Live carries the damn show, might as well get somebody from Bleacher Report on the show to do the prediction. So Graham Matthews, Mr. Wrestle Rant himself, is joining us here today. What is going on, good sir?
Nothing much. I'm just very excited for this pay-per-view. Very excited to be joining you guys today. Sid, this is our first interaction. Great to be meeting you. Hope to see you at WrestleMania weekend. And Rick, obviously, I've seen you quite a few times, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and I look forward to seeing you in Dallas as well. So, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, we got to find the best sushi joint in town, and we just got to obliterate that mother trucker. That's pretty much my plans.
I've been looking forward to that sushi place since we first discussed that in November. So I don't know if you're in on the sushi game or not, Sid, but we're planning on the sushi in Dallas. I don't know if Dallas is known for sushi. I've never really been to Dallas outside of the airport. So I will leave that up to you, Rick, and I will hope that you choose the right place.
I mean, Dallas is known for their barbecue, not so much their sushi.
But my wife doesn't like sushi, so I don't get sushi. And the only really time I get to eat away from her is when I'm out of town. So that's where, you know, that's where the whole sushi thing kind of came into place.
We'll go.
Don't worry, I'm going the cheap route. I'm actually staying with some friends of mine who live in Dallas as opposed to paying for a hotel for 5 days. So I'll just ask them, and I'm sure that they will be able to hand everything down. We do appreciate everybody who is tuning in to this Revolution Prediction Show. Just a reminder, it is Friday if you're listening to this, or it could be Saturday or Sunday. If you're listening to this, watching this on the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel, you still have time prior to Revolution to enter this bad boy to win our contest, $50 to shop AEW. Just follow the instructions right there. And I just realized this has been up for like 4 weeks and I have a typo. There is no space in follow at Rick Uccino. But I'm pretty sure I realize that. This is my pinned tweet at Rick Uccino. Follow the instructions. Subscribe to the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel. And you got a shot to win $50 to shop AEW. And if by some miracle we get 500 subscriptions, by Revolution on Sunday, I'll double it to $100 because that's just how nice of a guy I am. What are you going to see when you get up there? Obviously, you got our normal show Monday through Friday, Sid and I, as we debate the hottest topics that day in professional wrestling. And we have several interviews up. Sid recently talked to MLW World Champion Alex Hammerstone. I recently sat down with Jimmy Wang Yang, his first interview post his exit from WWE. And next week, got a really fun chat with Corey Graves and Carmella, everybody's favorite WWE couple. Dropping next week, talking about their YouTube show, which, by the way, I don't know if you guys have actually watched that. It is nothing like what the trailer suggested is.
No, I honestly completely agree. It's nothing like what the trailer suggests. It's honestly decent. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
I'm four episodes in right now. It's not bad. And we broke it all down with Corey and Carmella and talked about WrestleMania. And Corey had some interesting things to say about his prep work for WrestleMania as a broadcaster. So make sure to check that out next week on the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel. Also, this show right here, right now, would not be possible without our friends over at Bet Online. Football season is over. Rip my Bengals. But basketball, it's full steam ahead, ladies and gentlemen. We're this close to March Madness. We're getting closer to NBA playoffs. Sid, your Lakers going to make it? I'll just move on. From the latest odds, whatever the Lakers odds are, totals, player performance, props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is your number one spot for all of your betting needs. Head on over to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get started. It's not just basketball. BetOnline, your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds. It's the best in the business. Sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline, your number one online wagering destination. The fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, this is a stacked card, gentlemen. We have 11 matches, including two on the pre-show. But literally minutes before we went on the air, to record this podcast on a Thursday night, we had some breaking news. Mr. Cassidy Haynes of Body Slam. Now, he is saying that what's appeared to be a slam dunk at one point is no longer the case. Body Slam reporting that conversations between WWE and Cody Rhodes have now fizzled out. Now, this is a one source report. That is, I believe Cassidy, this is what he was told, but it's still, it's one source who is indicating to this. So still very early. Could Cody Rhodes could still go to WWE. He could go to Ring of Honor. He could go to AEW. Who knows what the hell is going on? But Graham, we'll start with you, man. When you hear this, you know, what's your instant reaction to it?
Well, my instant reaction, I almost wish I didn't ask you what the story was before we went live here, because you would have gotten my instant reaction right there, because that was the first I was hearing of it. I literally just jumped on as soon as I hit the, you know, accept button for this podcast. But yeah, I was shocked. That's very surprising to me. It seemed like it was a lock. I mean, I know that's just speculation. It was always believed that he would be going to WWE. It was never like, all right, he's signed on the dotted line, he's there, right, and this is the match at Mania. We were just kind of shooting the shit and thinking that he would be there. Very surprising. I mean, I'm curious. The whole Cody leaving AEW thing still leaves a lot more questions than answers. And we're still 2 weeks removed from it, and there's still a lot unknown about that situation as far as what went wrong, what changed, what didn't change as far as why he left. I always figured there was a possibility he could go back because he was technically a free agent. He hadn't signed anything with WWE as far as we know. But it's surprising just because WrestleMania is right there. You would think, I was shocked he even left AEW to begin with, but you would think WWE would throw as much money as possible at this guy to come back. And Cody, for whatever people want to say about him as a smart business guy, maybe he realized he wouldn't have the same creative control in WWE that he would in AEW. I mean, that was pretty evident from the moment that everything kind of started going there with the speculation. I mean, that's kind of, it's WWE. He's worked there before. He knows what to expect.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I hope we hear more details in the days to come. You said, Rick, right before we hit record here, you know, we got to wait and see if it comes out from more sources. Cassidy is very credible. Yes, so I do take some stock in that, and he's broken some great stories. So we'll see. I'm curious to see how it plays out, though.
If this does end up, you know, to be the case and Cody Rhodes doesn't go to WWE, I've already seen a lot of people on Twitter like celebrating this, right? And it's like, oh great, Cody's not going to, screw WWE, right, man? Like, and I look, fine, if that's how you feel, that's great. But to me, it honestly makes me kind of sad, because WWE really needs Cody Rhodes, and I would like to see main event level star Cody Rhodes in WWE and get that push and ascend to the heights that no Rhodes has ever done. Rhodes to the top. No one has ever gone that high as a Rhodes in WWE, right? Like, I wanted to see this guy come in, face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, beat him, and then win the WWE or Universal or whatever the hell they're going to call it after they unify it title by the end of the year. Like, I really wanted that to happen, and I wanted that to happen for Cody, because that's why he left in the first damn place. Mm-hmm. And to come back and to do that would have been a huge win for Cody, but it also would have been a huge win for WWE, who is lacking main event stars right now and opponents for Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns or whomever the hell walks out with the championship at WrestleMania. So I still hope that Cody ends up in WWE, but yeah, this is a little disheartening to me. But you know, he's going to do what's best for him and his family. But I'm rooting for Cody Rhodes to go to WWE, because I think WWE needs him more than AEW or Ring of Honor needs Cody Rhodes, for that matter, Sid.
I mean, I'm a person that was on this show and said I was more excited about the possibility of Cody Rhodes in WWE than anything he could have done in AEW. At the same time, when I saw that report, I was like, grand opening, grand closing. because this story has literally changed 4 to 5 times since January. Remember, this didn't start with the announcement that Cody was leaving AEW. It started in January when we found out he was a free agent and the contract expired. And how many twists and turns we have had in these first 2 months. I wasn't sad. I wasn't happy. I just wasn't surprised that this story has had so many twists and turns. I don't remember a wrestling story that's had this many twists and turns in like 2 months. When Sean dropped the CM Punk or Cassidy with the Bryan Danielson news, like, it was just that. It was just that, and we had weeks to talk about that. Yep. or like build up. When is it going to happen? When are they going to come in? Are they going to come in? Are they going to go to WWE? Are they going to hear offers? Like, we had all these questions, but it was just that story and we got to marinate on it. And then eventually they showed up. This one is changed 4 or 5 times in the last like few weeks alone, let alone the last 2 months. So I'm not surprised by this. I think Cody is good either way, because at the end of the day, if he goes to AEW, the number one thing that is left for him to do, well, there's plenty of things for him left to do, but the number one on that list is turning heel. Everyone wants to see that. That is still something that he didn't accomplish. But look at the list of guys he didn't verse in AEW. Hangman Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson. Like, he has a litany of dream matches and probably more matches with actual stars than what would happen in WWE. As much as we were hoping and we were optimistic about Cody going to WWE, to me, if the reports are true that WWE and Cody Rhodes had talks, I pretty much can tell you how those talks went. Hey, Cody, we got this cool idea. We're going to get you in for WrestleMania. You're going to verse Seth Rollins. It's going to be great. And Cody said, what about after? Shoot, we ain't expect him to ask about after. We don't even know what's going on at WrestleMania. We're not even sure he's going to verse Seth Rollins. We just thought it was a good idea that he was signed for. Like, they have no clue. They've had this whole WrestleMania card has been changing as much as this Cody story. So there was no guarantees of him going to WWE and being treated well. There is a guarantee that he's still the building block and still an important part of AEW if he goes back there. So either way, he can go for the risk or he can go for the reward. And I don't know. I don't know. I know for fans, y'all want to see him take that risk, but that risk could pretty much erase everything he's done in the past 5 years, honestly.
I mean, and to that end, though, AEW would always be there. I think he left, you know, with Tony Khan.
But even but if he goes to WWE, signs a 3-year deal, they treat him good for a few months and then bury him or turn him back into Stardust by year 3, he goes to AEW, it's not going to be the same. So he is very adamant. I think that he is listening, very much so, the key word, listening to both sides, and whoever comes with the best offer for money as well as creative is the person that he's going to sign.
If Cody Rhodes ends up not going to WWE, I think the person I feel sorry for the most at this point, and I know we bring him up like it was going to be a slam dunk, but I think it is a slam dunk because honestly, who the hell else is he going to face? Who's Seth Rollins going to wrestle at WrestleMania? Unless they're adding him to the world title unification match, there is no path for him to WrestleMania if Cody Rhodes isn't there.
Now, Dave Meltzer just speculated this, but he just brought up, basically, Seth Rollins is Kurt Angle before WrestleMania 17. Kurt Angle was a top star, top heel in the company, WWF champion. By the time WrestleMania 17 came, he got his match a week before the pay-per-view. So I think Seth Rollins is in that position. They don't know, and he's probably just going to get someone random that they also don't have plans for WrestleMania.
Hell, Graham, he could get the Charlotte treatment. Charlotte wasn't on WrestleMania last year. Could we really have a WrestleMania without Seth Rollins on the damn card?
It is pretty comical when you say it like that, when you think about that, because you literally just said, Rick, they have almost no stars right now. And Seth Rollins is one of those stars to not even have. But listen, we got to prioritize here. You got to have Johnny Knoxville on the show, right? You got to have Logan Paul. Oh, yeah. You got to have Vince on the show. You got to have Vince wrestling. But Seth Rollins, sorry, pal, we can't find a match for you. Honestly, at this point, I just got done watching the Vince stuff a little while ago. Maybe they didn't confirm Vince versus Pat. Everyone thought it would be this big angle. You know, we were figuring that. Reports are one thing. Who knows what is actually going to happen? Obviously, I don't think, it sounds like it's going to be Austin Theory versus Pat McAfee. But listen, if you got to prioritize here, put Rollins in that spot. Rollins and McAfee, it sounds random as hell, but it gets him on the show. If not that match, like you guys were saying, I have no damn clue. I mean, you look at the Raw roster, you look at the SmackDown roster. It's amazing when you think about how many people they have on the roster, but then it's like none of them make sense to face him. Or like there's no ready-made opponent to face him. Like, do they call up someone from NXT? WrestleMania is in 30 days from today. Like, It really is amazing. I think the Kurt Angle comparison is great because I really don't know what else you do with this guy. And there is absolutely a real possibility that Rollins could not be WrestleMania. I don't think so, but there's a very real chance that happens.
Oh, he'll be there. He just might not be doing anything other than eating a Stone Cold Stunner as he walks Kevin Owens down the aisle to face Steve Austin. Like, that might be the only freaking angle that Seth Rollins has at WrestleMania this year.
Give me Seth versus Montez Ford. Their wives are going against each other. Give me that match. Why not?
Tell it.
Why
not? What? Makes sense.
And then the Raw after WrestleMania, do the mixed tag match. There you go. I'll book you in WWE. You're welcome.
Corey Graves has been cleared. Let's just throw all the announcers in the ring. Why not? It's WrestleMania. You got 20 damn matches you got to fill up. We only got six of the freaking card. We're 30 days out. We're 3 days out from AEW. So let's break down this card, shall we? Let's hop into that. SP3, they're sending your boy Hook on the buy-in. QT Marshall about to get his ass whooped, I do believe, sir.
The biggest buy-in match in history. Like, yo, do y'all know that the YouTube numbers are just going to go astronomical? And when Hook's music hits, everyone's going to turn on their YouTube and watch Hook be sent. I can't wait for it. He wins, of course.
Yeah, I'm taking Hook as well. I wouldn't be surprised if this match goes. Look, this match is going to go as long as Hook wants it to go. He is just going to beat QT Marshall's ass until he's bored. And he will put him away. Graham, you calling him 3-for-3 on this one?
I'm going to have to go QT. I'm just kidding. Obviously, Hook's winning this one. I got to say, though, I was at Dynamite last week in Bridgeport. They had everyone on the show. Punk was there. MJF was there. The whole Bryan Danielson was in action. And that included the Rampage taping, too. So think about everyone that was on all those shows in the dark shit. Beyond MJF, who got the loudest reaction of the show, the second biggest reaction, pop, heat, whatever you want to call it, was Hook. I'm not even kidding. Like, the Hook hype is real. Mm-hmm. I'm not even the biggest Hook guy, and I can tell you, the guy is over, and you got to capitalize on it. Like, they are smart. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of Hook. Obviously, he's a fan favorite amongst the masses. You got to run with it. So, obviously, he wins. A lot of people are speculating maybe he goes on to win the TNT title. Whatever he does next, his first loss is not coming at the hands of, let me check my notes here, QT Marshall. So, clearly, Hook is winning here, no doubt.
Sorry, by the way, I just noticed the out of time license plate over your shoulder there.
Yep.
Fucking love that. So we're all picking Hook on this one. Another buy-in match. We got Layla Hirsch, legit Layla, going up against Chris Statlander. Oh, man, this one's kind of a coin flip to me, SP3. Which way are you thinking?
I'm going with legit Layla because I don't root for people who make fun of adoption. So it's Chris Statlander saying that Layla Hirsch's parents were right to give her away. She needs to lose.
That is still the strangest damn line to ever come from a baby face that I have heard. That was just stone cold blood. You know what? You sold me. I think legit Layla's going to get the win on this one, Graham.
It's funny that they brought that up on Dynamite last night, or Layla like referenced that, like, oh, did you really say that? Obviously they weren't face to face, but like, Chris didn't have any comeback for that. Like, she didn't even reference the fact that she said that, or maybe she did. She didn't really justify it. She was just like, oh, you attacked me that one time. Okay, so that makes that justifies you making fun of her for being adopted or whatever, something beyond her. Like, it was just bizarre. I agree. I like both of these women. They're clearly pushing Hirsch right now. I think they should push both women. We should see them on TV more often. But the vignettes, for what they've been worth, have been good. The backstage sex, the acting has kind of been all over the place, but the vignettes themselves have been fine. I like Hirsch a lot, and the upside is there. You got to push her as a heel, and the biggest way to kind of push her forward is giving her a win over an established talent, someone who's been there since day one. So you got to give Hirsch the win here. Not only the fact, including the fact that I think Statlander won their initial encounter on Christmas on Rampage like 3 months ago. So you got to give Hirsch the win here.
Well, and here's the other thing, because this could be, you know, parallel booking here. You could be building up a heel as maybe you crown a babyface women's champion that you're going to need heel challengers for. We'll get to that match coming up here in a little bit. So let's get to the main card. We do have two matches here that we don't have updated graphics for because I had a hard time finding the graphics. But we got four dudes here that you can see all the beef, and then Ricky Starks in the Facebook Revolution ladder match. We could get Ethan Page or Christian that's going to get added to this match as well. And then, of course, Orange Cassidy is also here. So, Graham, we'll start with you here. Are you going with beef or are you going with a high flyer to win this match?
Oh, put me in the hot seat here, Rick. This one's tough. To me, it comes down to only two names. I would be happy with really anyone winning, except for probably Orange Cassidy. I just don't think he needs to win, despite how over he is. Looking at the whole group here, I think they picked a fine, you know, collective group of stars to put in this match. I'm still not 100% sure. I thought at one point, like I said, I was at Dynamite last week, so I didn't hear the announcement, but I heard after the fact that Excalibur said either on Rampage or Dynamite that there could be seven people in the match. I know we're going to have six after Friday with either Christian Cage or Ethan Page. A lot of Page Cage, it gets confusing. But maybe, like, if there is a seventh entrant, maybe it's the rumored Swerve. Maybe he's in the match, or a Cesaro. We all know Tony Khan loves his Ring of Honor, original Ring of Honor stars, and there's a very good chance he could be AEW bound anyway. Maybe they win, maybe. I would have Keith Lee win and go all the way with him. I mean, the guy's ready right now. I don't want him to be one of those guys in AEW like an Andrade where they bring him in, get some hype for a little bit, and then they don't really do a lot with him, or he doesn't really ascend up the card. They don't need stars. They have almost too many stars. Yep. He's a guy that needs direction beyond this pay-per-view. I don't really know what you do with him unless he's in the TNT title picture. He won't be buried by any means. That was just a stupid thing to assume, but I would have Keith Lee win. I don't think he does, though. They're really pushing the Wardlow narrative. He's super over right now, so you can't go wrong with Wardlow. I think Wardlow wins, and then they kind of play with the whole MJF thing and either gives MJF the title shot or the title. I don't know, but that's what I'm thinking. I want Keith Lee. I think Wardlow's going to win, though.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one, because they had that little exchange on Dynamite this week between MJF and Wardlow where he's like, hey, look, man, if you win the Face of the Revolution ladder match and then you win the TNT title, you're doing such a good job, I'm going to let you keep it, right? And it's like they have been teasing this split between Wardlow and MJF, and it really kind of heated up in this last week with him staring down Sean Spears as he tried to hit Dude Bro with a chair, and then the backstage interaction where MJF smacked the shit out of him, and he's like, look, you work for me, you don't work for AEW. So, I mean, I could definitely see a scenario where CM Punk wins this weekend and Wardlow wins this weekend, and then maybe MJF tries to go back on his word, maybe takes his title shot, or maybe he tries to take the TNT championship after Wardlow wins it. I think there's a lot of great storylines there. I'm with you. Like, I would like to see Keith Lee, or maybe Powerhouse Hobbs, or maybe even Ethan Page, because they have been doing a lot with him in the TNT title hunt as well. All those guys make sense to me. I think Wardlow is going to win this one, SP3.
I don't even think Ethan Page is going to be in the match. If you have a chance to put one of the greatest layout masters to a ladder match in a multi-man ladder match, you put Christian Cage in the damn ladder match. Especially
he debuted there last year too.
Yeah, like Ethan Page, that is true. He did debut in the
I was talking about Christian. Actually,
they both did.
Right?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, because
Page. Happy year anniversary, guys.
Page was in the Face of the Revolution ladder match, and Christian was the mystery signing. So I think Christian should win, even though he's kind of going to have his attention diverted all over the place, because he does put together great layouts for ladder matches. And this is one where there aren't a lot of expert ladder match guys, really. Like, Orange Cassidy has been in a ladder match in this company, but I think he's the only one in this match that has been in a ladder match in this company. So we need someone like Christian in there. But as far as the winner, I do agree with y'all. Wardlow, they very much teased it heavily that he could win. So I think it is going to come down to either Wardlow or the guy I'm picking Keith Lee. It's just because it's March 3rd don't mean I don't celebrate Black History all year long. Keith Lee needs to get this push. He deserves it. He is so talented. They kind of have still put attention on him. I feel like a lot of people are just like, oh, he hasn't had a match, they're burying him already. No, he's actually been on TV every week since he debuted. So they're doing that good job. They have set up that he could feud with like Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs instead of winning the match. But I just feel the stronger move is to have him win and set up him as the next challenger for the TNT title.
And there's always the other option here, because Sean Spears has done a great job of getting it up in Wardlow's business for the last several weeks. He could do that during the match and end up costing Wardlow the match. I think that might be a possibility as well. And if that ends up being the case, Sean Spears is going to get his ass kicked on Sunday. And it's going to be absolutely hilarious to watch. Sean Spears has been like a very quiet MVP of all of this stuff.
This role has just been the best role that he's played in either company. WWE as Perfect 10 in this company when he first started off in the OG Codyverse. People like to forget that they treated Shawn Spears like he was a main event heel when he first came to this company because he was feuding with Cody. But now they got him in a role that just fits. And his facial expressions, him and Wardlow, are just top notch.
Moving on now to what could be the show stealer. Again, sorry for the outdated graphic here, but it is going to be Jurassic Express defending the AEW World Tag Team Championships against Red Dragon and against the Young Bucks. This match is going to be spectacular, and to me, this seems like the most predictable match on the card. And I'm saying this because to me, it seems like Red Dragon and the Young Bucks are going to end up fighting with each other and not let each other win and allow Jurassic Express to get out with the AEW World Tag Team titles. That's the story that it seems to have been. Like I said earlier this week, right? This is Adam Cole's school friends and work friends trying to get along, and it's just not ever going to happen. They don't mesh with one another, and they are going to get in each other's way. They are going to cost each other this match multiple times, I think. And ultimately, in the end, it's going to allow Jurassic Express to sneak out with a win and really kind of build up that Red Dragon versus Young Bucks feud that has slowly been bubbling over the last few weeks. So to me, I think this is without a doubt a landslide that Jurassic Express walks away with the belts.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion at all. It just as much as you see that finish happening, I can really see the finish of the Young Bucks hit the Meltzer driver and then the Red Dragon throws them out and gets the pin, because that's pretty much how they got into this match, was them doing that. So I think it is up to either Red Dragon or Jurassic Express, because Jurassic Express, the guys they've beaten, like Private Party, Silver and Reynolds, they're good. They're just not the top tag teams in this division. They need a win over some of the top tag teams. So I'm going with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus in this one.
Exactly what both of you guys said. That's what I expect to happen as well. Jurassic Express is my pick. Personally, I would have Red Dragon win for the exact reason and the way that you laid it out there, Sid, in that, you know, they steal the win, they become tag team champions. Because to me, you can have separate tag team stories. I would rather have tag team, you know, separate tag team stories. You can have Jurassic Express doing their thing as tag team champions, Red Dragon and the Bucks over on the side doing their thing with the Elite and Omega and Cole maybe or whatever going to Double or Nothing. That being said, and maybe this is just me, not that they've been poorly booked as tag team champions, you laid out everyone that Jurassic Express has beaten, said with, you know, Private Party and the Dark Order, and I think Butcher and Blade at one point, or whoever else they've beaten.
Gun Club.
Yeah, Gun Club. I mean, listen, they gave them the best Gun Club match I've ever seen. I will give them that.
True.
All of these matches have happened on Rampage. To me, they have not really felt like a focal point on Dynamite. They're at least on the show, but like they're not the top tag team. I feel like the Bucks and Red Dragon are getting far more focused storyline-wise, maybe not in-ring-wise, but I don't know. I just feel like that's the feud. If that's the biggest feud in the division, it should probably be over the championship. So I would rather see Red Dragon win. I mean, they could always have Jurassic Express win. I mean, like you guys said, they need the win more. I think they could benefit from the win. If they follow this up properly and put them in a team, in a feud with a team that's actually important, then I would probably change my mind. They've only been champions for 2 months. Have Jurassic Express. I would rather have Red Dragon win, because if that's going to be the top tag team feud, just go all in with it, and they're great anyway. But I'm going to go with Jurassic Express. I won't be upset that they win, but they got to do more with them coming out of this pay-per-view. And the Christian Cage shit is just completely pointless at this point. Just either have him turn heel on Jungle Boy, or he's just an accessory at this point. So just please have the man do something. All I ask.
He's like that younger stepdad who just wants to hang out with the kids, right? You know, like just never wants to leave him alone. Just stepdad Christian. Like, is he really going to go see the movie with us? Yeah, what else? Fuck else is he going to do? So that's pretty much the role Christian Cage is playing right now, which is why I wouldn't mind seeing him in the ladder match. I just think the storyline dictates that Ethan Page gets there. But Sid, you're spot on. Absolutely spot on that it makes so much sense to have a great mind like Christian in that ladder match that I think would just make it better. Sid, I always ask you the same question every week. What's more important than peace of mind? Absolutely freaking nothing. And that is what NordVPN is here for, to give you peace of mind while you're online. And with all of the threats that you face today on the internet, it is more important than ever to be sure that you have the best VPN that you can get. NordVPN is the world's best VPN service, offering the fastest connectivity, most servers, and next-gen encryption to make sure that everything you do online stays secure. Plus, you can use NordVPN for all of your computer's devices. no matter the operating system. With NordVPN's unlimited bandwidth, you never have to worry about a slow connection either, and plans start at under $4 a month. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/BLEAV and get up to 70% off your NordVPN plans plus one additional month for free. It is also risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Moving on now, I take back what I said about the most predictable match on the card being that tag team title match, because I forgot about this one for a hot second. And that is no disrespect meant to Tay Conte. I'm actually looking forward to see how they book her in this match. Karate bullshit and all. SP3, but Jade Cargill is winning this match. There's no doubt in my mind she's retaining the TBS title.
Like, that's what I said with that three-way for the tag titles. Like, the Jurassic Express is the third team in that match. It's not a foregone conclusion they're going to win, but it is a foregone conclusion. Jade Cargill wins here, continues her winning, her undefeated streak, her kissing her on the forehead, calling her martial arts BS. She just has to take Tay seriously at all. So I hope Tay has a strong showing, but Jade gets it.
I think she will have a strong showing because Jade's going to come in there and underestimate her. I think that's the story I'm expecting to play out, Graham.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it'll be a good match. I think it might be one of Jade's better matches. I mean, her matches so far have been very hit or miss. Like, I wasn't a big fan of the Ruby Soho match, but I thought the Thunder Rosa match like the week before was fine. I thought the Bunny match, I didn't really have high hopes for that. And again, me personally being there, I thought it was a lot better than it had any right to be. It was much better than I thought it would be. And it had some smoke and mirrors, but you know, it's a good match. So whatever. I like Tay Conte a lot. People obviously really like her. So I'm sure the crowd will be into this. Give her a couple close near falls.
Yeah.
My only issue with like the match that she had with Baker at Full Gear is that she literally hit like every move in her arsenal. Like Baker hit like 7 curb stomps. Tay hit like, I don't know. I just remember being like, all right, why are we like, and then it ends on like a basic roll up or something. It was just weird. I don't like when AEW does that sort of stuff, but I think this will be a good match. You have Jade win. It's another credible challenger. It gets Jade on the pay-per-view. I think people forget for the year that she's been here. And I think either this week or next week marks 1 year of when she made her in-ring debut. She has yet to compete in a singles match on pay-per-view. I mean, she was in the Casino Battle Royal at All Out, but she hasn't been under the bright lights of a pay-per-view yet. So I'm glad they're giving the TBS women's title some exposure. I think that's great. Jade is an absolute star. She's getting better in the ring. She's very good on the mic. So just keep pushing her. And I don't think Ty's the right one to unseat her quite yet. So that's a lot to say, just to say that Jade's winning here. I agree with you both.
No, but I agree with you. I feel like her matches have gotten much better since that Ruby Soho match. I feel like that was a disappointment. And I wasn't even too high on the Thunder Rosa match. I feel like she's actually better when she works with someone that's around the same experience as her. So that's why I'm optimistic with the Tay Conte. Because still, her best match was with Anna Jay. And Anna Jay is the tag team partner of Tay.
Yep.
There we go. All right, moving on. We got the Tornado Trios match. Matt Hardy, Andrade El Idolo, Isaiah Cassidy versus TNT champion Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and Sting. By the way, I know the TNT title didn't exist when Revolution was first there, but this will be the third consecutive Revolution that the TNT championship is not being defended. I just found that very, very interesting. So good that the TBS title is going to be on this match. They treat the TNT title like it's the Intercontinental Championship when Revolution rolls around. No, I'm kidding.
It's the defended every week. It really doesn't have to be defended at the pay-per-view.
You're absolutely right. SP3, who do you like in this one?
I'm going with Sting, Darby, and Sammy Guevara, because the Hardys, Matt is making another pay-per-view just because his brother's about to be signed, and I feel like this is going to be the blow-off to this AHFO, and it's going to be the AFO after this.
I was going to say, is Sunday the night that Matt Hardy breaks, right? Because his group, he has lost. They just continuously lose, and he gets more pissed and does the more erratic behavior and is just, you know, starting to do the broken thing, and the crowd wants it, man. They want broken Matt Hardy back. They're behind the delete chance. Graham, is Sunday, because I'm picking Sting, Darby, and Sammy. I don't know if Sunday's the day that Matt Hardy breaks again, but I really hope it is the day that he breaks again.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Sunday. It definitely is going to be another step closer to it. I think it's going to – they lose, obviously, like you guys said. And then, again, going back to what said earlier, I don't know if the tag team title match was the most predictable match in the show. This is far more predictable than that, I think, in that there's no way the heels win. I don't think they need to. I wish we got – it's ass-backwards booking to me because we're getting the TNT title three-way on Friday, and that should be a killer match. I don't know why we're getting that on Friday, and then this is the pay-per-view. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to this. It should be a fun match. But it's like, I know Sting hasn't wrestled on pay-per-view since Double or Nothing. I get it. But it's like, is this really that much more of an attraction than that? Or is it because they already have another triple threat on this pay-per-view they didn't want to do two? I'm not really sure, but this will still be fun. It's not like it's a massive downgrade. Like you guys said, it's just another step closer to the Hardy Boys reunion. I know Matt said that he had said it on his podcast or something that Jeff's non-compete is up on like the 10th or the 9th. I forgot exactly what day. It's a very important distinction though, because the 9th I think is on Wednesday.
It's the 9th. Everywhere I've read, it's the 9th.
So okay. Yeah, I thought Matt had said at one point, oh, it's up the 9th, which means he could do anything on the 10th. Maybe he just said that as a way to make people not think that he could be there on Wednesday. I don't know. It's the post-revolution show. It's like the post-WrestleMania show that WWE does, or the post-pay-per-view shows or whatever. They're always hot. You bring in Jeff then. I mean, it makes the most sense. It's up that day. Don't wait any longer. Either way, whether it's the HFO, AHFO, AFO, needs the GTFO. I think the AHFO shit is just terrible. I'm sorry. It sucks. I love Matt Hardy. It's one of my favorites of all time. I think Andrade is really good. The rest of the people they have in this group, Private Party is great. They need to be off doing their own thing. I just don't think they have benefited from this at all. Butcher and Blade, they've been in seven factions so far. Something ridiculous. Jack Evans and Anelico, I'm shocked they're even still on the roster. And I think they're great too, but like these people are never on the show. So I don't know. We already have a lot of groups as it is. This does not need to be one of them. Andrade can maybe, I don't even know if he needs a faction. I don't know.
No, he really should just be doing his own thing.
He does need a faction. He's a human trafficker. He likes to purchase people. That's what he does. He doesn't understand the concept of friendship and family. He's not going to put it together a stable to be friends with people. He literally likes to pay people to be around him.
I don't know. I thought the pairing with Chavo when Chavo first came in was great, and then Chavo left to go film Young Rock, I think. But that was like 6 months ago. Like, is he still filming? Is he even coming back? Like,
he got taken off the roster page, and he didn't know about it. He responded really? To it. He responded to it and was like, "Oh, Tony Khan, you said I would still have a job when I was done filming Young Rock. What happened?" And then he deleted the tweet.
Yeah, a typical Chavo. He's done that like 7 times. Yeah, he does that all the time. That's funny. Wow. So I guess he's not coming back. That's very weird. I don't know. I thought, you know, even his debut was weird. The whole booking of Andrade in AEW has been bizarre. WWE was obviously worse, but for the most part, it's just Andrade is a very interesting case. I mean, this whole match is probably one of the least relevant people in this match. Like, it's more about the TNT champion, yeah. Matt Hardy, even, which is sad to say, and I love Matt, but it really should be about Andrade and not the Hardy Boys. But it is what it is. Hopefully, coming out of this, he can get more focused, do his own thing, move on to bigger and better things. If it was me, I'd have him win the TNT title on Friday. I think Sammy's great. Give the title to Andrade to give him something to do, honestly, and then move forward with the Hardy stuff as a separate story. But yeah, the HFO stuff needs to go. I just think it's a complete waste.
And I think, you know, you talk about all the other tag teams there, like, you know, Butcher and the Blade and, you know, Private Party and all these guys. I think those tag teams, while they are really good, they're just victims of the fact that the AEW tag team division is so damn deep. And then you're about to add the Hardy Boys on top of all that. Like, those teams don't stand a damn chance. They just don't. And you got Top Flight back this week, and they're massively over. So it's like, okay, good luck.
I mean, this whole
you might as well go to Ring of Honor when
they probably gonna have to do that. Send a couple of these, especially like Private Party, someone that's young that can get some experience from being there, especially working with like a team like the Briscoes. I would love to see the Briscoes versus Private Party. But I 100% agree with Graham. This is a very long time that they haven't known what to do with Andrade. Like, he debuted last May, ladies and gentlemen, last May, and like, we understand a lot of people were negative about Miro's first one, but they were able to fix that in 4 months.
Yep.
Malakai Black with Cody, messing around with Cody too long, he's pretty much fixed. Like, yep. Everyone that they brought over from WWE, they had that adjustment period where they had to figure him out, but they were able to adjust it. This is the longest time it's taken, 10 months, to kind of get it together. And like a month and a half ago, I thought they were good when he was going up to Darby and like, let me buy you, you know, with your daddy. Like, that was great stuff. Him on his own is when they placed him with HFO. It was like, damn, you took 2 steps forward to take 1 big step back.
Preach to the choir. I just don't get it. Unless this guy is like the biggest jerk behind the scenes or something, and they have a reason to not be pushing him that I'm just not privy to, then I really don't get it. I know his mic skills with the English stuff, I get it, but like, dude, the guy in the ring is fantastic. Just give him a manager, and Jose doesn't cut his promos for him. It's really Andrade. Maybe it's because they think practice makes perfect. By having him speak more, they can work through it. I think that's great. I still think Chavo was perfect in the role, and they just, like Sid said, they're just not bringing him back, I guess. So it's just weird, man. Very weird. But again, hopefully bigger and better things are on the horizon for him.
I like Andrade talking for himself with the broken English. That marks me. That pops me every single time.
The Mr. Sting thing is pretty funny, to be honest. I will give him that.
Mr. Stang, where's your dad?
I love him.
All right, for the sake of moving things along, let's get to the big 5 matches on this card. We will start with Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho. Excuse me, Chris no longer have a dad bod Jericho going up against Eddie Kingston, my man at 50 whatever, getting in ripped shape. I need to know his secret. Because I'm never going to get close to that at age 33. But I do have back problems, so at least I have an excuse. Graham, this one is interesting to me for a number of reasons. And I think the wild card in this one is you know, the rest of the inner circle and what is going to happen with these guys and where allegiances truly lie in this matchup.
It's going to sound like I hate all stables, but they need to break up Inner Circle too. They need to move on from this stuff. I'm sorry. I really hope what we saw in Dynamite was intended to be a swerve with them be like, all right, we're on the same page with Santana, Ortiz, and Jericho. And he's like, yeah, we're all on the same page. And then they come out maybe to help Jericho and they help Kingston instead. Honestly, I mean, it may sound like trading one faction for another, but like Kingston with Santana or Ortiz, whether it's a faction or just an alliance, if it's like a faction and they want to throw more people in there, it may seem random, but they have history from Impact. But like, throw someone like Diamante in there, which I think would be great. We barely see it. She's never on Dynamite. Like, use her, do something with her. I think them with Kingston and Impact, I think a lot of people forget if they even saw it, was great about 4 or 5 years ago. I think they can kind of run that back in AEW, and they've been kind of teasing that. But Jericho, for a lot of people who don't know or don't really haven't really thought about it, he won a Full Gear. He won it all out. He won a Double or Nothing last year. Jericho doesn't need to win this match. I know they can tell the story of like what he said, like Jericho wins. Maybe he cheats to win. He's got to go heel. I think Jericho's work up until now has just been not good. But up until like a week ago when he cut that great promo with Kingston, I thought that was awesome. Like when he's motivated and has a good story, I think Jericho at this point in his career can be very useful and very good. The stuff that he was doing earlier when he was like making jokes with 2.0, I'm like, what is this? What is this crap? I mean, this should not be on TV. But anyway, just to keep it short here. Yeah, I do think Eddie Kingston's got to win this. They're telling a story. Oh, you can't win the big one. And it can't be one of those things where it's like, oh, he looks good in defeat, but he puts up a good fight and he loses. Yeah. And then they shake hands afterward. No, they've told that story with Eddie so many times. It's going to get to a point where he is, in fact, a loser. If you book him to look like a loser, he's going to be a loser. He needs a win. He already lost to Miro. He lost to the Bucks last year. He lost to Moxley full gear 2 years ago. He lost on the last show to CM Punk. The guy needs a win, and it needs to be here. I don't want to wait until the next pay-per-view. They can continue doing stuff with this and move forward with it, but Kingston needs a win now. So I got to go Kingston all the way here.
Yeah, and SP3, to Graham's point, like Jericho has already said he's going to punk Eddie Kingston after he beats him. Like, he's only going to treat this man with the respect that he deserves if Eddie Kingston wins this match. For the sake of Eddie Kingston's future bookings, I'm going with Eddie on this one. It's his time. He has to go over on a major pay-per-view. He's got to get a win in a big match. Chris Jericho can afford to lose a few at this stage in the game and help put, you know, I'm not going to say put the young talent over, but put the younger guy over, for the love of God, here in Eddie Kingston. So I'm going with Eddie on this one.
Yeah, this is kind of like a couple of different feuds in one, where it's kind of like Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston, where Bryan became the guy calling the other guy the B-plus player after the Authority called him that. Now it's Jericho is basically playing the role of The Rock, and Eddie Kingston is playing the role of Jericho on their way to No Mercy 2001. Jericho never won the big one, but they never emphasized it until he was about to win the big one again for the world title at No Mercy 2001. And you said all those times Eddie Kingston lost on pay-per-view, Graham. You didn't even mention the big one. He's never won on pay-per-view.
Never won.
All Out lost in the Casino Tag Team Battle Royale in 2020. Then Full Gear 2020 lost to Moxley. Revolution. They couldn't even get his baby face turned right with those sprinklers and stuff. Then he lost to the Young Bucks with Moxley at Double or Nothing. Lost to Miro at All Out. Lost to Punk at Full Gear. He's got to win one of these, and you still have the other big one, the real big one, which is his first title win in AEW. So there's more story to tell after this, but yes, I feel like the emphasis has been on Eddie winning the big one, so he needs to win it.
This is the match that I'm looking forward to most on the night. And I genuinely have no damn idea who is going over in this one. So I'm going to let you two try to sway me one way or the other. Graham, John Moxley, Bryan Danielson, let's effing go. Who you got in this one?
Oh, man. Give me the tough ones first. I almost wish that you guys would go first to kind of help me, like, oh, I could steal your answer. But, man, this is tough. I love this match. I love the build to it. Bryan is a gem. John Moxley's doing great work right now. Again, to kind of bring up things that haven't really been brought up by the announcers, I don't think. Maybe they haven't. I just haven't paid attention. But Moxley, I don't remember the last loss that Moxley had. Maybe when he lost the U.S. title about a year ago to Archer. It was in last July. That might have been it. Because I know he beat a bunch of people coming out of that. He won in that world title tournament before he left for a little while. He never lost there. Didn't lose many tag team matches from what I can remember.
I think you're right. Yeah. That's his last loss.
Yeah, that would have been in July. So
on AEW TV.
I could be wrong, but that's the last one I remember. And they usually don't have him lose a lot. So
yeah.
And that would have been it.
Let's see. Second anniversary show, he lost in the Casino ladder match.
The ladder match, yeah.
Yeah, that's the last one. Yeah.
Okay, that would have been the last one. Wasn't pinned, but he did lose there.
Yeah.
He's been winning a lot, obviously. And I think he can still win. I know Bryan Danielson just lost to Adam Page. I don't think him losing here takes anything away from him. And the story is more like it's like with the Kingston and Jericho thing, where if Moxley wins, you'll kind of be convinced of Bryan, like, all right, I'll team with you. So I think Moxley wins. I think if Bryan Danielson wins and Moxley is like, all right, fine, now I'll team with you because he lost, that seems a little weird. I think if he wins, he's like, all right, you took the fight to me. I'll agree to give you what you want. I think doing that with Jericho and Kingston would be silly because Kingston needs to win. Here, it doesn't really matter. I'm fine with that. I think the real winners here are us. Like, the fans are going to be the winners regardless. But yeah, I think it's a Moxley win here, and you can continue to build to really, I don't know what they're going from here. I mean, they might do the stable. Maybe they do a double turn. I honestly really don't know, but I'm invested, and that's the key there. So I think Moxley wins. Bryan Danielson could win, but I got Moxley winning here.
If you look at both of these guys outside of Bryan Danielson losing to Hangman Adam Page, they're on similar trajectories where they have been winning a lot, but they haven't exactly been beating the house names, right? Yep. Like, you look at Bryan Danielson with wins recently over Lee Moriarty and Daniel Garcia and Christopher Daniels. And before that, it was John Silver and Five and Colt Cabana and Evil Uno. Got the big win over Miro. I mean, that is something, but, you know, Rocky Romero, Anthony Bowens, like, hasn't been beating the house names. And same with John Moxley, 10, Jimmy Jacobs, Ethan Page, Channing Thomas, Homicide, Anthony Bowens, Wheeler Yuta. So, like, these guys have been kind of like great matches and great talents, but they're not been beating the top stars. Now these two guys, it's like when division rivals in football play each other for the first time in a season, right? Like, okay, now we've gone through like the Jets and the, you know, the Colts and all the other bad teams. Now it's time to butt heads here. It's going to be interesting to see what direction they decide to go with this one, SP3.
This is going to be a barn burner, probably, in the running for match of the night, especially if it gets a bunch of time. I agree with Graham. I think Moxley gets the win here because
Moxley was going to win at Full Gear. He was going to beat Brian Danielson wasn't supposed to verse Hangman Page. It really looked like they were heading towards Moxley versus Hangman. So I think he needs this win here to set him up as a challenger for Hangman Page on TV prior to Double or Nothing, because that will be kind of like Hangman's final big challenger that he beats before I feel like he will lose at Double or Nothing. But Moxley wins here. And also, Moxley was on his way to a heel turn. So a hard-fought fight with him and Danielson coming out on the other end on the same page, yet Moxley wins, yet he has respect for Danielson enough to team with him. You can use Danielson to get Moxley back on track for the heel turn. I don't think you should do it anytime soon, because the people are still going to love Moxley for a little bit because he just came back a few months ago. But use Danielson to tell the slow burn story towards Moxley turning it.
I can guarantee one thing. There will be blood. This is going to be two dudes just beating the hell out of each other. And you know what? Just to be different, I'm going to say Danielson does get the win. I could go honestly either way. But I'm going to say Danielson gets the win, and I think Moxley takes the approach of, well, F it. I can't beat him. I might as well join him. Let us move on to what I think is what has been the best build to a match that I have seen in AEW, and it is CM Punk against MJF in the dog collar match. MJF does technically have two wins over CM Punk. I won't give this one to you first, Graham. I'll give it to SP3 first this time. Does MJF go 3-0 over CM Punk, or does Punk get a win here?
Prior to 8 p.m. on Wednesday night, March 2nd, 2022, I was utterly convinced MJF should and would win this matchup at AEW Revolution. But after one of the greatest go-home angles that I've seen in professional wrestling, not just AEW, professional wrestling, period, CM Punk has to win. And I made it work in my head where this CM Punk victory sets him up to be the challenger for MJF when he becomes AEW World Champion at Double or Nothing, and sets it up for a rematch back in Chicago at All Out this year. So I think CM Punk needs to win to set him up as MJF's top challenger on the next pay-per-view after he wins the title. So yes, MJF wins. And oh no, I mean, CM Punk wins. And I know the finish, because my finish before 8 p.m. yesterday, Wednesday night, was MJF puts the pitcher in front of Punk when he's about to be dead to rights. Punk has him done. He pulls out the pitcher. Punk hesitates. MJF low blows him, hits it with the diamond ring. 1, 2, 3. He wins. Now it's going to be he pulls out the pitcher and Punk doesn't pause. He just murders him, and the match ends. Punk wins, and all we see is the final visual of the match is the picture with blood spattered on it.
Yeah, I think Punk in that case would just flip off the damn picture and then finish the job. I like CM Punk in this one. Even though MJF is technically 2-0, it's still only 1-0 in the record books. I think these guys aren't done. This has been absolute money, and I have all the confidence in the world that these two guys can carry this for a little while longer. So I'm going to pick CM Punk to win this to ultimately set up the rubber match down the road where MJF will go over, I believe, in the long run, in the end. But this Sunday, after everything that MJF has done, especially this past Wednesday on Dynamite, it's time for Punk to get at least a sliver of revenge in this one. Once again, there will be blood in this one, but I'm going to go with CM Punk, Graham.
Yeah, it makes the most sense, obviously, coming off of what we saw last night. Exactly what Sid said, going into that angle, I'm like, I wasn't like 100% like, all right, MJF will win, but I'm thinking, all right, he has to win. Coming out of that angle, all signs point to MJF losing and Punk winning. I don't really do this. I don't want to switch here. I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm going to stick with MJF. I think all signs point to Punk winning. I'm going to stick with it and have egg in my face come Sunday when he loses. But it's not one of those things where it's like Punk has to, like, if Punk wins, I'm not like, well, fuck this. Like, this company sucks. Like, this is, like, it doesn't matter. That's the beauty of a good feud. When you have a good feud where no matter who wins, you're happy, that is how you do it. Like, they're doing the best way. Like you guys said, this is the best build of a pay-per-view match I've seen. And that includes Omega and Paige. That might be the only exception. I'd rather think about it, but that was on and off. This has been consistent for 4 months. For them to have a feud to go on for four consistent months and do the promos they have that already do the match on TV, which everyone thought was crazy. Why would you do that? But it ended up being the best thing they could have done because it stretched out even more. They gave him more material. They got to do the last 2-week build thing with MJF doing that babyface promo. Phenomenal. Punk winning. And then I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, after watching it, exactly what Sid said, I'm thinking, yeah, Punk will win. MJF will win the title. And then they'll go back to it. Maybe Punk beats him for the championship at some point, either later this year or next year. But I'm going to stick with my guns. I think if you really want to swerve people, and Punk isn't ruined if he loses here. He's not, it's CM Punk. I mean, the guy's fine. You know, I think I've been saying since Full Gear, Double or Nothing has got to be where MJF takes the title. I don't think Paige needs a 9-month, year-long reign. It'd be fine. I don't think he needs it, though. I would give MJF the belt at Double or Nothing. They could have him lose here and then give him like 70 wins on Dark between now and then to justify him being number one in the rankings. They can figure it out. But I would give him the win. I would have him go 2-0 or 3-0, like you said, Rick, against Punk. And you could still have Punk be the one to take the title from him, saying, hey, listen, you've never beaten me, Punk. I'm officially the best in the world. You're a loser. And that would build off of his win over Darby Allin at Full Gear. I still have no idea why they had Jericho beat MJF at that All Out show. I know it made sense from a storyline standpoint. Like, oh, he finally gets his win. No one cared. Literally, nobody cared. So I would have him beat Punk. I don't think he is, but I'm going to, for prediction wise, stick with my guns. MJF wins.
Last two matches of the night for the two world championships in AEW. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Sid, I know you're rooting for it. This is your girl, Thunder Rosa here. Is it her night? She had the weird booking. She already pinned her clean as a sheet on Wednesday, which makes me second guess what's going to happen on Sunday. Thunder, like you said, until Wednesday, you said slam dunk. You thought MJF was going to win, and now you're thinking it's CM Punk. I'm the same way with this match. Them putting Thunder Rosa over that easy. She dominated that tag team match. Britt Baker didn't do a dang thing in that match. Britt Baker has never beaten Thunder Rosa. All signs to me point like Britt Baker is going to somehow retain this. I'm going to stick with my guns on this one, though. I think it's time to make the switch. It's time for Britt Baker to either take a little bit of time off, let the heart, absence make the heart grow fonder, or maybe, you know, start with the babyface turn, have her feud with Jamie Hayter or Rebel or whomever, let that group kind of split up. It's time to do something different with her. And it's time to put this title on a white hot baby face in the women's division. And that is Thunder Rosa. I think it is her time on Sunday, and I am picking her to win. Sid, does your girl get it done on Sunday?
All I would say is that AEW really loves Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not get this wrong. They really love this woman. The first woman star they built up. She's been champion for, 9-10 months now. And, her title reign has kind of petering out. You can kind of see them kind of revitalizing it with a huge win over Thunder Rosa at this pay-per-view. Plus, one person Jay Cargill hasn't really faced is Britt Baker. And if this is not the first ever women's main event on a pay-per-view, you would have to think Jay Cargill going for the AEW Women's World title would be. And they already did Rosa and Jade. They haven't done Jade and Britt. So maybe they could keep the title on Britt to build to that, the eventual big time first ever woman's main event on a pay-per-view. But who am I kidding? It's Thunder Rosa! Thunder Rosa is going to win, and she's going to look as happy as when she met me.
Graham, you're on the floor, good sir.
Well, I can't really top that. I can't say I met Thunder Rosa. That was a good picture, though. I'm going to go Britt Baker. I was going, wow. Don't kick me off the call. I'm sorry. I said, I'm going Britt Baker here. Not because I'm like, all right, Rosa shouldn't win. I think Rosa needs to be the one to beat Britt Baker, in my opinion, based off the story that they told going into the unsanctioned match a year ago or whatever, almost exactly a year ago. Oh my God, time flies. She does need to be the one to beat her. I just wouldn't do it here. And the reason being, it's no fault of their own. They've done what they can in the last couple of weeks. I feel like the story coming into the show for like the last month or two has been Baker, Rosa, Martinez, and Hayter. I don't know how you would have worked it out because it's not like WWE where they just make matches randomly. They actually have a reason for why they put people in title matches with the win-loss records. I would have done a four-way. I don't know if we've ever seen a women's title four-way match in this company. I know they maybe on one of those Dynamites a couple of years ago pre-COVID. Maybe I feel like I remember seeing one with Riho maybe, or number one contenders match. That's what I would have done, because the real tension there is between Baker and Hayter. Martinez has been involved too. I think she's very good. I would have done that. I really like the contract signing last week. I do think Rosa needs to take the title. I would keep her in chase mode a little longer. The thing is, I mean, I guess Double or Nothing is in 2 months. It's not like it's between Full Gear and this pay-per-view is like 4 months. At least 2.5, so it's not that long. I know they're in Texas coming up, maybe in 2 weeks. I don't know if that would really be that much, make that much of a difference.
I was going to say that also 2 weeks makes 1 year since the Lights Out match.
Yeah, there you go. So maybe they do it there. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I mean, I don't know if my mind would change like, oh, Rosa's ready. It's not that she's not ready. It's more like with the story, like, I honestly feel like had they built this up over like a 2 month period, and I know they had the history from a year ago, but like they didn't really heat this up until like 2 weeks ago. Like they announced it, I'm like, oh, wow, I guess we're getting it. I honestly have been of the mindset, I know other people have said this, if they've built this up for like 2 or 3 months, this could have been the main event of this show. And I think it should have been. Like, I like Cole and Paige. You got to usually put the world title in last, but this is a world title too. And it's a bigger match. It's a bigger match, and it could be a better match. So, I mean,
all I will say, not to interrupt you, both of these world title matches have been a weak build. It's been disappointing that we know these matches are going to deliver. It's just the buildup just hasn't been there. And to so you know, I saw Rick looking it up. I already know it. There's been 2 women's Fatal 4-Way matches, Double or Nothing 2019, Britt Baker one, and the Jacksonville, I think it was the first Dynamite of 2020, Riho defended the AEW Women's World Title.
That's what I was thinking of.
It was January 1st. Riho beat Britt Baker, Hikaru Shida, and Nyla Rose. That's exactly what I was looking it up. You son of a bitch.
There you go. I mean, another thing, too, to go off of what you said earlier, Rick, Baker has beaten Rosa before. I think they had a match at Beach Break last year.
Yes.
And Baker won that. And
Baker
that
is 1-0. She's 1-0.
Exactly.
Lights out match doesn't count.
Oh, exactly. So you have Baker win here, and she's like, listen, you can't beat me. And she's like, well, you did, but it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. I think you can build with a third match where Rosa wins. But again, where they do it, whether it's in Texas or Double or Nothing, if Rosa wins here, I'll be like, let's go. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like, again, another case where it's like, I'm happy with whoever wins. I just don't know if I would necessarily do it here. I think it should be the main event, too, because Baker's been champion for so long. They do need to do something different, like you said, Rick, like turn her face or something. And just wait like at least a month or two, put some more heat on this, and do the title change in a month. But if they do it on Sunday, I'll be as happy as a clam. So it doesn't really matter to me, I guess.
Yeah, I'm at the same place with Britt Baker as I am with Becky Lynch. Love her to death. Ready to see something different. Like, Becky Lynch has been a world champion for 3 years now at this point. You know, outside of the time that she took off. I want to see how that character works without a championship on her shoulder. And I'm ready the same way with Dr. Britt Baker as well. Guys, before we get to the main event, tons of people take multivitamins, but it is important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day off right. Their special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It is also lifestyle-friendly, and it fits a wide range of diets. There's only 1 gram of sugar and no chemicals or artificial anything. Reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That is it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your purchase. All you have to do, visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That is B-L-E-A-V. Once again, athleticgreens.com/believe. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens, take ownership of your health. And last but not least, it is for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Hangman Adam Page against Adam Cole Bay Bay. Graham, who is the better Adam on this night?
It's got to be Adam Page. I mean, I love Adam Cole. I think this will be a quality match. Exactly like Sid said, both of the builds to these two world title matches has not been the greatest. This has been good. I think the Punk MJF stuff is completely overshadowed almost everything else on this card. I think the card's amazing, but I just think that is the real biggest match on the show, and it's not for a title. They have history. They kind of played into it. Oh, you beat once in 07. I beat you once in 2013. That's not really enough. To me, this is kind of a placeholder program before we get to Cole in Omega or a 6-man or whatever they're planning at Double or Nothing. So I think Adam Page wins here. He's another guy. They've done right by him in the last few weeks, up until like a couple of weeks ago with the Lance Archer stuff, he was an afterthought on that show. Not like this poorly booked champion. I've seen way worse booked champions in WWE with people getting pinned every 2 seconds or whatever, not even being on the show. It's not that bad.
Nakamura.
Yeah, exactly. There's just more I feel like they could have been doing to put more emphasis on Adam Page. They've done a better job of that lately, which is good. He's having the pay-per-view as he should be, I guess, of all the matches on the show. Good. He should win here. I would still take the title off of him at Double or Nothing. He gets a win here. Maybe I don't think Omega gets in. AEW is pretty good about not doing too much BS in their main event matches. I don't know how much shenanigans we actually see in this match, but either way, Paige wins, and that builds the bridge to whatever's next for both him and Adam Cole going into the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, when Kenny Omega left, Adam Cole told him, like, look, I got this, right? Yep. I got this. I'll take care of everything. You know, we're here with the Young Bucks. This is fine. And then he thinks he's doing the right thing by bringing in the Red Dragon, and now all of a sudden there's infighting. This is all going to implode on Adam Cole on Sunday. Everything is going to go wrong. Jurassic Express is going to retain. His boys are going to fight with one another. He's going to lose to Hangman Adam Page. All hell is going to break loose. I don't know if it leads to Kenny Omega coming back yet. I don't know how healthy he is. But Hangman Adam Page is hanging on to this title, SP3.
Yeah, Hangman Adam Page has to hang on to the title. I agree with Graham. Like, they just didn't put any focus on him before the Archer match. But this man has knocked everything they've given him out the park. You want him to do a promo, knocks it out the park. You want him to just do, like, character work, he knocks that out the park. Matches, the two Danielson matches, the Kenny Omega match at the last pay-per-view is the best pay-per-view main event this company has ever had. The Archer match, no one expected anything from that match, and he pulled out a great match with the Big Show of AEW. So, like, he's done it. He's done basically everything he has to. I think that this match is about Adam Cole really stepping up to where Hangman Page is at. And I know that's crazy for a lot of people that watched Adam Cole on top of NXT for so long, or even watched him in ROH for so long, but he needs this kind of defining performance. Yes, he's had great matches in AEW. His stuff with Jungle Boy was great. His even a couple of matches with Orange Cassidy was great, but he lost both of those feuds. So, like, he's going to lose this one. He just needs to make it like a 4.5, 5-star type of matchup to really set his place in AEW.
Now, this is an Adam Cole world title match. How many false finishes we get? 5, 10?
Oh, it's going to be a bunch. It's going to be a bunch. And the way he sells the lariat is going to be a few of them just off lariats, because that lariat on Dynamite looked like his soul left his body. So I'm looking forward to this.
I mean, this is going to be like an Adam Cole Tommaso Ciampa match. Like, this is going to be like a bajillion of them. It's going to be great. I'll guarantee this. I'm going to be exhausted. Not the fact that this is going to be the last match of a really long card. I'm just going to be exhausted watching these two finish out this match, where they're going to get they're going to get into this where you think the match is over and it's going to go an extra 10 minutes. Like,
yeah,
that's just how I think. I would be stunned if there's not more than two false finishes in.
Yeah, this might be one of those matches too, where honestly, I'm not a big fan of like a million false finishes. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about with the Cole Ciampa thing. And I don't want the match to go 30 minutes too. You mentioned being exhausted, Rick. For at least me on the East Coast, it's going to be getting done by midnight. Yeah. Like, that to me, it's a 4-hour show. They only have 4 pay-per-views a year. I've just accepted it at this point. I don't like 4-hour shows, but they have so few shows, whatever. And the shows are great, then it doesn't really matter. I remember just at the end of Omega and Page, at the last pay-per-view, I'm like, I mean, it was a great match. Like Sid said, probably the best pay-per-view match they ever did. I don't want it to go 10 minutes, but it should probably be at least 20. I mean, they tend to go really long with a lot of their matches sometimes when it's just not necessary. So if they can put on a match that's exciting enough to keep the crowd invested after 4 or 5 hours of wrestling, that's the key. And I think given who's involved, they can do that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you talk about a 4-hour show. We've already done 1 hour and 7 minutes breaking
that's
down
what
this
we're
card.
Here for. But no, to say the point, Graham, I think the last time it felt long for AEW pay-per-view was Double or Nothing, because they decided to finish off with the Stadium Stampede.
Oh my God, but yeah, tell me about
all,
it. Yeah.
All Out was longer than Double or Nothing. Full Gear was the same length. No one said a word about it being too long. No one said a damn word.
All right. We've already gone 1 hour and 8 minutes on this half hour podcast here today, guys. We appreciate everybody who has tuned in so far. I will leave it up to the competitors here because we have gone so long. Do y'all want to do the Believe in Sid Trivia Challenge, or we want to call it off and say, hey, look, we've been talking for 1 hour and 8 minutes?
I haven't yet to experience this, so my answer is automatically yes, but Sid can be the deciding factor here.
You're 0-2, Sid.
I never back down from a challenge, ladies and gentlemen, and that is why I am the Quizomania champion. So it doesn't matter that Rick has created a quiz that I will never win. I still have my crown.
All right, so here we go. We'll make this one fast. All right, so it is three rounds for those who have never tuned in. First round, each competitor will have a question of their own to answer. There are multiple answers. They will get 30 seconds to get up to 10 answers on it. And as a matter of fact, both questions this week have exactly 10 and only 10 answers there. So 30 seconds to get as many of those. Those are worth 1 point. Second round, same kind of situation. You have 10 seconds to get up to five names for 5 points there. And then it will be head-to-head in round three. I will ask a question. You will let me finish asking the question. You guys will ring in by saying your name, and whoever gets the question right will get a certain amount of points that I deem necessary when the time comes. All right. We got this?
Think so. As ready as I'll ever be.
All right, Graham, we'll start with you on this one. All right, round number. Actually, no. We'll start with SP3 because I wrote it out weird. All right, SP3.
Screwed again, ladies and gentlemen.
The Sami Zayn of the show, I take it, Seth.
All right.
Conspiracy.
SP3. At AEW Revolution last year, Jon Moxley failed to recapture his AEW World Championship in an exploding barbed wire death match. You will have 30 seconds to name the 10 men that Moxley has faced in an AEW Championship match. All right, he has faced 10 different guys in an AEW championship match, win, lose, or draw. That does include his opponent in last year's death match and the man he beat for the title in the first place. You will have 30 seconds at the start of the music. Good luck, good sir.
Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Brody Lee, MJF, Eddie Kingston, Lance Archer, Darby Allin, Brian Cage, Kenny Omega. Damn it! Why can't I think of this last one? it's gonna piss me off now.
Doing good.
I've completely drawn a blank, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I know the one that you're missing. It's so funny they forgot this one.
The Butcher.
Yeah, I would have never got that. I remember it. As soon as you said it, I remembered it, but never would have got it.
I had to double check when I looked that up. I'm like, what? I don't remember that at all, to be completely honest with you on that one. But my memory is shit, so I don't, whatever. All right, Graham, so same kind of question for you here, but the champion is Sakura Shida. She has fought 10 different women with the AEW women's title on the line. Again, you'll hear the music. You have 30 seconds to name those 10 women that she has faced with the AEW title on the line. All right?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Io Sakura, Ryu Nami, Britt Baker, Nyla Rose, Ty Conti, Abaddon, Chris Statlander? Oh my god, who else did she face? Thunder Rosa.
Got it in at the buzzer. All right, I believe you broke up a little bit. I think you got six of them. The answer
was seven.
You counted seven. All right. Britt Baker, Nyla Rose, Riho, Penelope Ford, Thunder Rosa, Big Swole, Anna Jay, Abaddon, Ty Conti, and Ryu at the end there as well. All right. So we'll give you seven. That means the score is 9-7 as we head into round two here. All right. Sid, you have 10 seconds to name five of the six women who competed on the first Revolution pay-per-view in 2020. There were two matches.
You said five of the six women.
Yes, there were two matches, a tag match and a title match. Six women competing in all on the night. You have to name five of them. When the music starts.
Nyla Rose, Chris Statlander, Riho, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Carcita.
All right, you got three of them. It was Britt Baker, Penelope Ford, Riho, Yuka Sakazaki, and Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander.
I don't remember that tag team match whatsoever. I know it was on the buy-in, right?
Yeah,
I don't remember that at all.
I think it was supposed to be on the buy-in, but didn't it get moved up?
No, it was on the buy-in.
Did it?
I have the match card on my computer of 2020 Revolution. It was a buy-in match. That's why I was like mad. I was like, damn it. They didn't have the buy-in matches on this graphic here, or I would have definitely got it.
You cheating son of a bitch. All right.
That's Revolution.
All right, so that's 3 on top of 9. My UC math tells me that is 12. Graham, you are at 7. You have 10 seconds to name 5 of the 6 men who competed in the first Face of the Revolution ladder match last year. When you hear the music.
Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, not Darby Allin. Oh my God, who else was in the match? I'm drawing a blank. I don't know. I remember those two were in it. I know that.
I would have got more on this one than I know Cody Rhodes, Penta.
Yep.
Who, how many people were in it? 7 or 6?
6.
6.
6?
Yo. Yo.
Oh, next my caster. Next caster. Oh my God. I totally forgot about that.
And what did you call him? AEW's Big Show, Lance Archer.
Yo, I don't remember him being in it at all.
Me either. I don't remember that.
Wow. That's bad.
All right. So that puts you at 2. So that's 9. So the score is Sid 12, Graham 9, which means his final question is worth 4 points.
Oh, my God.
All right. So again, got to ring in with your name. I'll be listening intently. Wait till I finish the question. At the inaugural AEW press conference back in January of 2019, Pac made a surprise appearance, making it clear that he was all elite when he interrupted which wrestler?
SP3.
Adam Page.
Well.
Thank you.
No.
You gave it to me.
No, I forgot this. I'm sorry.
Yes. Hangman Adam Page.
Oh, you deserve that one. I messed up.
Graham, you were right there at the finish line, and he rang in before you anyway.
He did.
Oh, that was too dang good. Sid, you finally get off the schneid. You finally get off the schneid, which means you get time to pimp whatever you want. You got 30 seconds to it, big guy.
My Quizzlemania trophy, it's state of the art. You know, you got this etching that I did myself. It's beautiful. And it's, you know, I know it's a basketball player, but it's about me going through the hoops and jumping through the glass ceiling. I did it on Quizzlemania on my 4th appearance there. I did it here on my 3rd quiz with Rick trying to screw me against tough competition like Graham. I want to thank him for being the person I could finally defeat. Go over to the True Hill Heat YouTube channel and root me on as I will celebrate there as well. Saturday, 11:05 a.m. Eastern time.
All right, Grant, tell the fine folks where they can get your good stuff, sir.
Like I said earlier, I can't quite top that, but I mean, at least I have the distinction of being the first one that Sid beat. So like you said, I will take honor and pride in that. But yeah, you can check out my stuff over at WrestleRant.com, Bleach Report, as you said earlier, Rick. What Culture, Fansided Daily, DDT, I'm on there as well. YouTube.com/WrestleRant. And that's pretty much it on Twitter as well, at WrestleRant. And that's pretty much all I got. I just wanted to ask Sid one thing. You mentioned earlier, completely random. You mentioned you were a Lakers fan. Not even wrestling related, but it comes out Sunday. I had a chance to watch the first episode yesterday early.
How is
Winning
it?
Time. Fantastic show. You got to check it because I talked to some of the stars from the show like last week. And so they gave me some of the screeners for it. And I thought it was all coming out Sunday. I didn't know it was going to be weekly.
Is this the John C. Riley show?
Riley show.
Based on the Lakers dynasty. Yeah,
exactly. And I spoke to him about it and he was awesome. And there's a star studded cast involved with it. Great show. I'm not even the biggest basketball fan and I fucking love it. So definitely go check it out. You will like it. Said as soon as you said you were a Lakers fan, I'm like, all right, he's going to like this show. So I'm sure you're already looking forward to it.
I've been getting hyped. So thank you for the reminder that I have that to enjoy on Sunday along with Revolution.
I forgot about that.
Just me, or does John C. Reilly kind of look like Jackie Moon? Anybody seen Semi-Pro? they look almost exactly the same. I think that was done on purpose, though. Guys, make sure to follow all of us here at Wrestling Rant, at True Heel SB3. Follow me at Rick Uccino. Again, check out my pinned tweet. By the way, for those listening on the podcast, it is RickUccino. I know that's a difficult last name. Two T's in Matthews, by the way, for those trying to find Graham on the Twitter machine. And no E in True, because SB3 is weird. So those are all the Twitter handles there. Look at my pinned tweet. Follow the instructions. Retweet. Subscribe. Follow. You're registered to win $50 to shop AEW. Check out my interview with Jimmy Wang Yang on the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel. Check out my interview with Carmella and Corey Graves when that drops on Monday after Revolution. Boy, I got some work to do this weekend. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy SmackDown. Enjoy Rampage. Enjoy AEW Revolution on Sunday. Most importantly, join Sid and myself Monday morning when we break it all down. So much wrestling to talk about. It's such a damn good job to have. You have been listening to the very special AEW and the very long AEW Revolution pre-show. 11 matches on a card. What are we doing? Thank you for tuning into the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast, brought to you by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.